Welcome to the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu, a text that has quietly reshaped how philosophers, rulers, and ordinary people understand power, nature, and the art of living. What if the most effective way to act in the world is to stop forcing anything at all? And what if that idea, taken seriously, overturns almost everything modern culture teaches about success? The author behind this work is known not by a personal name, but by an honorific. Lao Tzu simply means old master, a title that signals accumulated wisdom rather than a single biography. The Tao Te Ching is one of the most translated works in all of world literature, and its title already contains its central tension. Translatable as the Book of the Way and its Virtue, or the Classic of the Way and Power, the title points toward the Tao, an ineffable underlying principle from which all things arise. Lao Tzu argues that this principle cannot be adequately named, yet the entire text is an attempt to point toward it through language, paradox, and poetic compression. This is not a contradiction the text tries to resolve. It is a contradiction the text inhabits deliberately. From its very first line, the author uses that tension as a teaching device, not a flaw to be corrected. In the book's view, the limits of language are themselves part of what the reader must learn to feel. The figure of Lao Tzu is historically uncertain, and that uncertainty is itself instructive. Traditional accounts place him in the 6th century BCE as a keeper of archival records at the Zhou Dynasty court, making him a rough contemporary of Confucius. His very name, Old Master, suggests less a biographical individual than an archetype of venerable, accumulated wisdom. Legend holds that Lao Tzu grew disillusioned with the moral deterioration around him and resolved to leave civilization behind. At the Western Gate, a border official named Yin Shi recognized his wisdom and persuaded him to record his teachings before departing. What resulted was approximately 5,000 Chinese characters, the foundational scripture of Taoism. Whether Lao Tzu was a single historical person or a composite figure assembled by later tradition remains genuinely debated. Modern scholarship generally treats the surviving work as shaped by more than one contributor or a textual community. The uncertainty around authorship may itself be part of the text's meaning. The teaching matters more than the teacher. What the Tao Te Ching offers is not a narrow doctrine, but a multi-layered vision that has sustained radically different readings across 2 millennia. The author's 81 short passages have been read as a guide to political leadership, a manual for personal cultivation, and a metaphysical account of reality. Taoist, Confucian, Buddhist, and Western philosophical traditions have all found footholds within it. The text's apparent simplicity, spare imagery, short passages, refusal of systematic argument mirrors one of its own core teachings. According to the author, what appears minimal on the surface can contain inexhaustible depth. Approaching this work means accepting that it will not yield its meaning through a single reading, and that sitting with ambiguity is not a failure, it is the practice. Whether Lao Tzu was a single historical person or a composite figure assembled by later tradition remains genuinely debated. Modern scholarship generally treats the surviving work as shaped by more than one contributor or a textual community. The uncertainty around authorship may itself be part of the text's meaning. The teaching matters more than the teacher. What the Tao Te Ching offers is not a narrow doctrine, but a multi-layered vision, sustaining radically different readings across 2 millennia. The author's 81 short passages have been read as a guide to political leadership, a manual for personal cultivation, and a metaphysical account of reality. Taoist, Confucian, Buddhist, and Western philosophical traditions have all found footholds within it. The text's apparent simplicity, spare imagery, short passages, refusal of systematic argument, mirrors one of its own core teachings. According to the author, what appears minimal on the surface can contain inexhaustible depth. Approaching this work means accepting that it will not yield its meaning through a single reading, and that sitting with ambiguity is not a failure, it is the practice.